I would like to dedicate our learning today to the Refuah Shleima of Rabbi Balka. He shall live and be well, Reuven Pinchas Ben Yehudis. And we all hope to see him have a speedy and easy recovery. So this is going to be the first in what I think are ultimately going to be three shiurim on the topic of how to appropriately collect pirot shvi'it, right? Shmita produce. So let's assume, for argument's sake, that you have fruits in a legal way in your orchard during the Shemitah year. What can you do if you want to collect them? That is the topic of discussion today and in the next lecture as well. We will begin with the topic of Hefker, the notion of declaring one's produce ownerless during Shemitah, and that will be followed by the details of Kotzer, the details of how one can harvest Shemitah produce. So we begin with source number one, which is a pretty cryptic pasuk from most. However, we're going to take a particular interpretation of that. The pasuk in Shmos Parakhav Gimel says as follows: "V'sheishanim tizra'at artzecha v'asavta etzivuata. For 6 years you shall plant your land and you shall gather its produce. V'hashivit tishmeteno nitashta." Okay, that these are going to be hard words. We'll say, on the seventh, you shall tishmetenu netashta, relinquish it and abandon it. V'achlu evyonei amecha, and the poor from your nation will eat. V'yitram tochal chayas hasadeh, and the remnant will be eaten by the beasts of the field. Kein ta'aseh l'karmachal azitecha, so shall you do to your vineyard and to your olives. So, we had this notion of relinquishing, abandoning, detaching from Shemitah produce. What exactly does this mean? The truth is there are a number of interpretations in the Mefarshim and the Midrashim, which already say things like it means don't work the land, maybe it means don't eat from the land, but we're going to start with the Rambam and the Chinuch in sources 2 and 3. Says the Rambam in source number 2, in his Sefer HaMitzvot, Mitzvah Kuf Lamed Dalid. HaMitzvah HaKuf Lamed David, He Shetivanu LeHafkir. The 134th mitzvah is that we have been commanded to be mafkir, declare ownerless. Kol ma shetatzmiach ha'aretz b'shnat ha'shmitah. Everything that the land sprouts during the Shemitah year. V'hifkir tzimchian motinu lekulam lechol adam. And being mafkir, declaring out that what our land sprouts ownerless to all people, that they all have access to it. Now, I didn't bring the pasuk there. The truth is the Rambam then brings a very problematic medrash in support of this. It's very confusing and complicated, so we'll leave that for now. But the Chinuch in source number 3, I'm taking the easy way out. You know, I have a lot to cover, and I don't want to get into a cryptic medrash. I'm sorry. But we'll take source number 3. The Chinuch just quotes the pasuk pretty succinctly. L'hafkir kol mash totzar v'shan ha'shviyet. The Chinuch says the mitzvah is to declare ownerless everything the land brings out during the seventh year. And it is called, because of this action, the reason it's called Shemitah is because of the action we are obligated to perform. It's not a Shemitah. The Yitzchak Peretera called Rotsa Zakot. And anybody who wants can merit or take its piros, its fruit. Shedemar v'ashviyit tishmeteno netashta v'achlo v'yamecha v'efran tochal chayad asadeh. He quotes our pasuk. So here's the question. The word hefker is a pretty particular term, and that's what we're being told to do. Hefker, hefker, hefker. What do you think it means that the Rambam and the Chinuch are telling us that during Shemitah year, we have to be mafkir our produce? When you hear that, what does that mean? Simple explanation. What should it mean that we have to say our payrot are hefker?
Say our payrot are hefker. Say make.
Yeah. Seems pretty fair, right? Maybe it means you go and say, hey, everybody, look at all the fruits in the orchard. They're hefker. Yay. Hefker, hefker, hefker. Now that, and joking aside, that the hefker does have a very particular connotation in halacha, right? There is something called being mafkir. Being mafkir means that you make a verbal declaration and it is a legal mechanism which you can use to relinquish ownership from a specific item. You can say, I am being mafkir. I am being mafkir my leftovers. That's what you can do. Usually we say, There's discussions about how you can go about doing that. You may be required to do so in front of three people, right? You can't just, you know, think it's Hefker. You have to say in front of three people, this is Hefker. Okay. So I like
Are you being left here only anything that would grow during the year or the actual fields themselves?
That is an excellent question. Zev asks, are you being mocker the land? Are you being mocking mock the fruit? You know, you might ask, if you're not mocking the land, how can anyone even get the fruit?
I don't care about anything that grows on my land. I don't care about anything that grows on my land. Anybody can have it. But does that mean I'm giving up the land itself?
Well, let's think about that for a second. So if you were really mocking the land, that would be pretty, that would be an important thing, right? That would have a lot of effects. So if you were really mocking the land, I should theoretically be able to go and take it. I now own your land, right? That's what really being mock the land. And also, I'm not sure, now that you mention it, I'm not sure if you can just be mock your karka. That's a whole discussion in halakha too. We usually think of
you can't own it either.
What?
You can't own it either. If I can't own it, you can't own it.
So that's also a good question Zev is raising, which is, usually when you're mocker something, you have the right to then go and take it, right? So if I am in, you know, classic, I'm in the Beit Midrash and I have these leftover cookies from Shabbos and I go to some table in the front, outside the Beit Midrash, of course. No one would ever eat the Beit Midrash. But outside the Beit Midrash, there's a table and I say, the cookies are Hefker, Hefker, Hefker. I can still go and take a cookie. Anyone can. So that would also be important to keep in mind. That's what I would have thought. And the question, whether that is the truth, whether we're referring to halachic hefker, may relate to another question, which is, at what point do the peros of shvius become hefker? And more specifically, what makes them hefker? Is it that the owner has to make this declaration, this legal declaration, that my peros are hefker, and thereby you can take them as you wish? Or no, maybe it just happens by itself. So this is a very important discussion, well-known discussion, the Acharonim, and the Minchas Chinuch here presents it in source number 4. Ba'ani mesupak, and this is mitzvah, hey, Dalid, says the Minchas Chinuch, ani mesupak ya mitzvah karkapta de gavra hu derachmanot tzivol hafkir peretah b'shvias. Is the mitzvah that, is it upon the, you know, literally the skull of a person? The point is, it's a personal obligation that the Torah commanded each person to declare their fruits ownerless during Shemitah. And the way you fulfill it is by saying, as Rabbi Yara said, hefker, hefker, hefker. V'makir hareza hefker. Aval meinu makir einu mufkar. And maybe if I don't fulfill my obligation, then they're not hefker. They're mine. Unehid over say, and I'm doing the wrong thing. You can sort of smile at me and scold me and say, how dare you not be mafkir. But mikomako meinu hefker rak olor gzir Hashem isparach. Nevertheless, they're not hefker. You're just violating what Hashem said. In Kain Enacha Rashai Livlo, Baharehu Gozel Biyadachirim, calls that Shalivkir, right? So this would mean if I violate Halacha and I'm not Mafkir and you go into my field, you take my peros, you are stealing, you are a Gazan, you have to return them. That would be one opinion. It's a pretty extreme stance, I'll say it that way, but that's one option. And he says, Mavor, because the Mishnah of a Rambam, we'll get to the Rambam later, Shvius Pater from Meiser. Shvius is Pater from Meiser. You don't have to separate Meiser from Shmita produce. Why? It's not just a Xeris Akasav, Kevon Zuhu Hefker, the Hefker Pater Mina Meiser, because it's Hefker. And Hefker things, Hefker produce are Pater from Meiser. In King Kozesh, Lo Hefker, Kevon Zuhu Havi Hefker, Chayav Laaser. And that would mean then if I wasn't Mafkir, if I didn't do that, I would have to separate Shumon and Meiser from the produce. Odilma Hefker Ze Ein Sarah Chabayla Mahakir Raku Akar Afkata de Malka. Maybe no. Maybe that's all wrong. Maybe it's not that the Torah is requiring me, or at least it's not that the Hefker requires me to say it's Hefker and that I have to go through that legal process. No, the Torah is Mafkir. Hashem declares all Shemitah produce is ownerless. It's accessible to the public. That's what's happening here. Rock in Noel Carmo over Asezeb, but if, even though it's Hefker no matter what, if I lock up my vineyard, so I'm violating that mitzvah. I'm stealing from the public. And it's hefker no matter what, even by itself automatically. And it's no matter what, it is pater from meiser. And if you break into my field, we'll get into breaking into the field a little bit later, but if you do, and you take my peros, that's not stealing. You're taking what is rightfully yours. It is totally okay to do that in terms of you're not stealing it. And then he says, okay, so now he alludes to the following discussion. So this is up for debate, okay? This is the question. Do we say hefker happens by itself, or is it a function of the Torah? The Torah says all the peros are hefker. Now, depending how you understand this question, may I'm not saying that it will, it may very well, at least Michal's Chinuch, it seems like he's claiming, may very well affect how you understand the mitzvah. Namely, if the mitzvah is, Michal's Chinuch is sort of claiming, if the mitzvah is to be makir, that is the mitzvah. Mitzvah is, you say, our peyrot are hefker. And maybe that's like a one-time thing. Maybe all you need to do is get up the first day of Shemitah and say, my peyrot are hefker. Conversely, if that is not the way it works, if the peyrot just become hefker, then the mitzvah can't be that you have to just, sounds like he's saying, the mitzvah can't be that all you have to do is say they're hefker regardless. So the mitzvah is something else, which he hasn't totally explicated here, but at the very least, we know that if you put a fence around your field, that's wrong and you're stealing. Okay, so first where we're going to go from here is I'm going to sort of reject this sort of paradigm. I'm going to say no. This is a separate question, and there's two questions. One is how the hefker works. Two is, in terms of the produce, do I need to actually verbalize a hefker in order for the produce to become hefker? But that's a separate question from what my personal obligation is. The mitzvah might not be the same as this question of whether the peros become hefker. But first, let's explore this issue, right? What should we say about each side? Okay, so as the Michal's Chinuch referenced, this is an important discussion in the Acharonim in the 16th century, when after the Gerush from Sfarad, after the Spanish Inquisition, and in the time of the Beit Yosef, when Jews began to actually return to Eretz Israel, and these things became very important. So the discussion here primarily in the Mabit, in source number 5, just against the Arahaga, the Meiz, Moshe Mitrani. And I have to say that when I was a rabbinic intern in Englewood, I met a family named Mitrani, and they were direct descendants of the Mabit, or so they claimed. And not only that, they were very wonderful people. So I guess if they hear this, it's great to, hope you're all doing well and everything is great there. But the Mabit is discussing the issue of whether peros, produce that was cultivated by a non-Jew, whether one has to separate truma and maaser from such a peros, right? This is the discussion of yevol nachri. What is the status in during Shemitah of non-Jewish produce? And he writes as follows: Rishona, ki min haTorah ein chiyuv klal b'shnata Shemitah b'masro. There is no obligation at all during Shemitah for maaser. Just like an animal doesn't need to separate meiser, that would be pretty strange. I don't know how we would that they would fulfill that obligation. So too, humans have no obligation to separate meiser. And since Jews have no obligation to separate Truma and Meiser during Shemitah, non-Jews also don't have any obligation to separate Meiser during Shemitah. At this point, it seems pretty fair. If we're not chayav in Truma and Meiser, Gentiles also shouldn't be chayav in Truma and Meiser. Okay. Ella, Dilonis chayav peiro karka gai, Ella b'midi di'ihavi Yisrael hava chayav y'midurais in Rebbanah. A non-Jewish produce is never going to be chayav in Meiser if a Jew who owned the same produce would not be chayav in Meiser. That makes no sense. But here's the punchline. The imtit ake shaloma, if you're stubborn, and you say, Hilo patra Torah Meisro elamashu hefker. The Torah only absolved produce from Meister if it is Hefker, if it's ownerless. Jain Perus Yisrael, and that's Jewish produce. Aval Perut Gai She'eno Makiram Yechayavim. But the Perus of a Gentile, the produce of a Gentile, which is not Hefker, that is Chayav in Meister. He says, Lohi. No, that's not true. De'atu. Yisrael Shagadar Karmo Velohif Kira Bishnada Shemitah. If a Jew were to put a fence around their vineyard and not be makir during Shemitah, Yechayev b'maser? You're going to tell me that a Jew who puts a fence around their field during Shemitah, their produce isn't chayev b'maser? Rachmana avkere la'are la'anim la'ashirim. For both the poor and the wealthy, the Torah is makir the land. That gets back to your point, Zev. He says it's makir the land. He's not making that up. It's from a Gemara, as we'll see. But the Torah is makir the land. Lekach in shom chiyuv meiser kol shekein bagai. No chiyuv meiser, right? So what's his point? The point is, what are you going to tell me that if someone puts a fence around their field during Shemitah, the produce isn't hefker? Really? Is that what you're going to tell me? And you know what the Beit Yosef says to that? Yeah. You know what? In hachanami. Taka, you're right. If a Jew puts a fence around their field during Shemitah, their produce is not hefker. Take a look at source number 6. Vatar iti. All right, he quotes from Moshe Mitrani, and then he says, Vatar iti mashakatavar hachachan. Moshe Mitrani, leftor b'shvim ma'isro gedulei shanat shemitah bekarka gai. I saw that Mabit exempted non-Jewish produce from ma'isro during Shemitah. L'kacham yisroel menu kor miruach u'mercha. If a Jew buys them before the non-Jew piles them up and does that himself, processes the produce himself. B'tan rishona, ki min ha-Torah ein b'shanah shmina chiyuv maestro, sechule. Ba'ani omer, here's the punchline. Ki mashe hu sover shu ekshut v'yosher. What he says is stubbornness. Oh, you're going to be stubborn and say it's only patra because it's hefker? It's the truth. It's actually right. Ki lo nitru peir which v'yem mi maestro al mitam hefker. He stole the words from my mouth. The only reason non-Jewish produce, shmita produce, is patur from Meiser is because it's hefker. V'chol she'eno mufker lo nifter mi'maisros. And yeah, if it's not mufker, it's not patur from Meiser. U'ma shetan atu Yisrael gadar karmel hikiro v'chule. Yeah, he says, what if a Jew puts a fence around their field? It's not hefker. Yesh lomar shezehu kimodia hadavar besatum mimenu. He's like someone who is actually telling the truth about something hidden from him. He's saying like, oh, is it really true? Yeah. It's true. You're right. Yes, that's the answer. And here's the point, though. Focus on this next line, because we're going to have to get back to this. What is the Beis Yosef's argument? Is the Beis Yosef saying that the Torah is not mafkir, the produce? Here's the line. Afagad derachmana akira. Even though the Torah was mafkir, it kevan deihu lo Afkere, since he was not mafkir it. That's the argument. The afilu in timtsalomar dipitura. Even if you're gonna say that a Jewish produce is exempt, iklamemer shani hasam derachmana afkere mashenkin bishagai. There you can say the Torah was mafkir it. However, you cannot say that about the produce of a Gentile. Okay, so going back to this argument of Rav Yosef Carter, right? And the Mabit. The Mabit, I think, is pretty clear. The Mabit says the Torah is mafkir, the perus of Shvius. The Torah is mafkir, the produce. It's not contingent upon the will of the owner of the produce. What about the Beis Yosef? What is the Beis Yosef responding? Looking at that line that I bolded in the second to last line, what do you think he's saying in response? How is he arguing?
There are two parts.
There are two parts.
There's what God does, and that's what you do.
Right. Right. There's what God does, and that's right. Right. So God does something, and you could do something. So there's two ways to. So some, most actually, most Achronim, Minchas Chinuch included, interpret this Beis Yosef to say that the Torah is not really mafkir. It's upon the owner to be mafkir. And that's one way to read this. However, that's not the only way to read it. What he's saying is, it sounds like to me, the Torah is mafkir, but he wasn't mafkir, meaning you have the right to override the hefker of the Torah. how we'll get to in a bit. But you can say, okay, the Torah is mafkir. If I did nothing, if you just sat there in your field, your peiros would be mafkir. But when you put a fence up and you say, it's not hefker, it's not hefker, it's not hefker, then it works. That's point one. Point two, and he says, and I think this is actually very compelling. I find it hard to, you know, it might be dependent on another question. He says, and even if you're going to tell me the Torah is mafkir, even non-Jewish produce, really? How can the Torah be mafkir non-Jewish produce? They don't even keep Shemitah. Now, that might be contingent on another question, which is the hefker, again, contingent, is it related to the person, the owner, or is it just a function of the land itself, that the land is hefker and the produce that it produces is hefker? But that being aside, that's the question of the Beit Yosef. If you look in source number 7, the Maharit, I think, understood that the Beit Yosef was saying that it depends on the owner. And the Maharit brings 3 proofs against the Beit Yosef, and the Maharit is the Ma'bit's son, right? So he's defending his father here against the Beit Yosef, which is a big deal, because Rav Yosef Karo is, you know, he was a big deal. So if your father's up against Rav Yosef Karo, you probably should defend him if you want him to stand a chance. So, and that's what he does. He says, "Ve'ein devara mechuvar in source number 7, etzli, she'ein adavar toibah krishalo." He's wrong. It doesn't depend on the owner at all. Proof one is from the Gemara in Nedarim, the Perek in Amoder. You know what? And we'll get to the proofs in a second. He brings 3 proofs. Proof one is going to be from a Gemara in Nedarim. Proof two is going to be from a Gemara in Bava Metzia. And proof 3 is going to be from a Mishnah in Klaim, although he calls it a Yerushalmi. But it's also a Mishnah. And he says all of these sources prove definitively that the hefker happens automatically. It doesn't depend on the owner. Now, it happens to be, there's 2 ways to defend the Beis Yosef. Way number one is you could try to be doche and deflect all these proofs and say, no, maybe they don't necessarily prove that. Way number two is that you're totally misunderstanding. The Beis Yosef didn't mean to say what you think he did. Okay, taking a look at source number 8. This is the third source, but this is the Mishnah in Kalayim. This is his third proof. It says in the Mishnah, HaMesachik ikkefano agabe tzvuato shechavero, Hare ze kidesh v'chaya b'achariyuto. A person takes their vine and brings it over their friend's grain, then it becomes kodesh, meaning usher. In this case, you cannot partake from it, and you have to pay for that. Why is it kodesh? What issue are we dealing with here? To see if we're still in the game. What's the problem with taking a kerem and putting it on your friend's tzvua? Why is that? Why is it a problem? Tell me out of this, Anna. Why is it a problem?
Stealing.
What's the, you're not stealing. You're taking a vineyard. Okay, so maybe that's like property infringement. You're taking your vine and you're putting it over your friend's grain. What's the issue with that?
Claim.
Yeah, it's claim. You're making a claim. You're not allowed to mix a vine and grain, right? That's claim. And not just that. Not that you're not allowed to. It becomes usher. You took your friend's grain and you made it usher. Let me correct myself. I made a mistake there. I'm sorry about that. It's your own. You're taking your gethen. Oh, actually, it is your friend's grain. So we'll get to that. Okay, that's the first opinion. The first opinion is you just really inconvenienced your friend. Excuse me. That's right. You inconvenienced your friend. You made their tavua aser by making it client. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, in Adam Makdish Davar She'ino Shelo. Okay, you know, I quoted the wrong part of the Mishnah here. So that's the first part of this Mishnah. I apologize. First part of this Mishnah says, Rabbi Yossi and Shimon say, you can't be makdish davar she'ino shelo. There's a continuation in this Mishnah by Rabbi Akiva that I left out. Rabbi Akiva says, during Shemitah, even if you do this to your own produce, even if you take your own kerem and you mix it with your grain, your wheat, that is not klayim. That's not klayim. It's really a shame that I didn't bring this. Why? Because ein atvua shelo, ein hakerem shelo. During Shemitah, the grain, thank you very much. The grain is not his, the tvua is not his. So Rabbi Akiva is saying that it's not yours. Thank you. Yeah, Richard, he sent it to me. Okay, I'll read it. He says, thank you very much, Richard Schiener. Okay, one second.
This is the Gemara on that Yerushalmi, because okay, that's really the ikkar of what he's doing.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just going to take a look here. I'll just share it in the chat and with everyone. And then, or would you mind just putting in the chat for everyone? I'm sorry. I really should have brought this. Thank you. I apologize for that. So the point, though, is from this Gemara that Rabbi Akiva says is that somebody who does this during Shemitah, you take your vine during Shemitah and you combine it with your grain, it's not usher. Why? Because it's not your vine and it's not your grain. What does that tell you? That seems to tell you that you don't own your produce during Shemitah. That's what it seems to tell you. So how would you respond? Take a look at source number 9 and source number 10. It's Rambam and Bar Bartanu say, Yadu alacha shekol asaro bishnat hashmika hefker. Ve'mishum adam behem baluk mura. We know that during Shemitah, a person's field is hefker. It is ownerless, and a person does not have complete ownership over it. Lafikach naaseh karmo bishnat hashmita kemi she'eno shelo. Right? Therefore, during Shemitah, your vine becomes something like something that is not yours. Similar to Ravai Mar Tanura. But Shemitah ain lo bahem kinyan gamor shakol hakriv eno chasha kishalo. During Shemitah, your vineyard, quote unquote, your vineyard and your field are not completely yours. And the rule is ain adam oser davar sheino shalo. You cannot make something that is not yours usser. At least for Isurim that require your consent. Okay? So it sounds like it's a good proof. How can we answer this proof for the Ma'abit against the Beit Yosef? Two things I think you can say here. Number one is it's not clear that the person didn't, you know, wasn't mafker his field. Right? So, you know, just because he's violating one prohibition doesn't mean, you know, he's not violating the other. Right, so he might have gotten up at the beginning of Shemitah and said hefker, 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 and then done this. It's not crazy to say that. I mean, maybe it's not the simple way to read the Mishnah, but maybe we're talking about a case where the person was actually makir. Number two, another answer I would suggest is: are the Rambam and the Ravaj and Martinu saying it's totally not yours? What they say is you don't have ba'alut gmura, complete ownership. Meaning even the notion that you are obligated to go and be mafkir might take away enough control over your produce such that you don't have the right to make it forbidden to others. So that's one, that's proof number one. That's the Mishnah in Kalayim. Proof number two is a Gemara we'll just briefly look at now in source number 11. And Zev, this is for interest for you. The Gemara here, as we'll hopefully see later, is talking about the notion of how can you go into someone's field and take peyot during Shemitah. And the Gemara says there's a case where a person makes a vow forbidding their friend from having benefit from them. And the Mishnah says that if you make that vow and you forbid your friend from benefiting from your property, during the Shemitah year, they cannot enter into your property. However, they can eat from the Shemitah produce because the Shemitah produce, as we've been saying, is not theirs. You're not benefiting from them when you eat their Shemitah produce. And the Gemara says as follows. Says the Gemara, source number 11. Why do we allow you to eat from your friend's fruits? Because they're hefker. Ara nami afkira. The land is also hefker. And I will add that most, as Chaim and I pointed out during Seder, most Rishonim do not have this girsa. Our girsa is the Gemara just says, Ara nami afkira. The land is also hefker. However, if you look in the Rush, and Tosfos and Ron, and pretty much everyone, they have the Girsa, Rachmana, Aranami Rachmana Afkara. The land also, the Torah, was Mafkir. And that's how they all read this Gemara. And if you look in Source 12, I'm not going to go through the specifics in Source 12, the Gemara and Bava Metzia. We'll just read the punchline. There's something called Nechasim Nitushin, which means quote unquote abandoned produce. Why do we call it that? The Gemara says, take a look at the last line in that I bolded in source number 12. My son, the Karlun, it's Ritushim, Mitushim, Debal Karchan. They're called Mitushim because it's against his will. Dixiv Shvius, Tishmatena, Nitashta, during Shemitah, we say nitashta, you abandon your produce, afka'ata de malka. It is the king who is uprooting your ownership from it. So that is the proof. It sounds like, you see, the Beit Yosef is wrong. The Torah, God, is mafkir. These are three proofs against the Beit Yosef. How do we answer them? Two, briefly, there's two ways. In source number 13, Rishon Mesaklov says, you're taking these sources all too seriously. When the Torah, Gemara says, Rachmana afkara, it doesn't mean that it's against your will. It means the Torah commands you to be mafkir it. That's all it means. It's mitzvahs melech. We assume you're following the commandment of the Torah. That's all it means. That's why you can go and take the guy's produce, because the Torah is telling you that you have to be mafkir them, and he was probably mafkir them. That's all it means. Don't get so crazy. He also points out that we don't have the gear saying Nadarim of Arachmana afkara. We just say Ara Nami afkara. However, if you look in Rav Kook in source number 14, he disagrees with this notion. He disagrees with the notion that the Beis Yosef is actually saying that you had the choice whether or not to be mafkir, and that the Torah is not mafkir. He says, no, we're talking about a specific case. Take a look at source number 14. That wasn't what the Beit Yosef was saying. The Beis Yosef wasn't saying that the produce isn't hefker unless you get up and say, hefker, hefker, hefker. No, that's not what he meant. In a normal case, the hefker comes because the Torah is mafkir. Hashem is mafkir. And yes, and therefore everybody has equal access and it's exempt from meiser. Barak in gadar et karmo v'hereb poel b'firash in mafkiro. It's only if he fenced in his fence, his vine, vineyard, and showed actively, explicitly, that he's not mafkir. When you put up a fence and say, I am not mafkir, then bezeh notah beYosef lecharesh yishomar sha'afal pisha avral iser Torah, mikomolka moel cheskato lahazik bishalom. This gets back to that point before. What do we generally say by hefker? Hefker means anyone can take it, including the owner. Well, if I build a fence around my produce and I'm saying, do not come in, that seems like a good way of saying, I am taking it. It is no longer hefker. That's the first option. So the old Beis Yosef is saying that when you go and you put the fence around your field, then you are taking it back. And therefore, it's not pater from meiser in such a case. That's all he's saying. Number two, then he goes a bit further. He says, maybe what the Beit Yosef means is that you can prevent hefker if you're goder at the beginning of Shemitah. If at the beginning of Shemitah, then you put your fence around and then the produce grows. So he says that prevents it from becoming hefker. And therefore it is putter. And that's when it's putter from meiser. However, maybe if you wait till afterward and then only afterward, after Shemitah has begun, then you're mafkir the pair, then you bridge your fence. It could be that it would be pater from meiser. Maybe then the pater from meiser kicks in, since at the beginning of Shemitah it was hefker. And then even if you violate the prohibition afterward, then it's still hefker. But what the Beis Yosef is saying is simply that a person, if they go out of their way to stop it from becoming hefker, they have the right to do so. But if you don't, yes, there is such a thing as afka'at demaka. That's what he says. Even though the Torah was mafkir, he wasn't mafkir. So two ways to explain the Beis Yosef. Be that as it may, coming back to our original question, what do we do about the mitzvah of Shemitah? Let's think about this. If the Torah is mafkir the peros for you, if the Torah says the peros are mafkir, then what do you have to do? What is the mitzvah of hefker? The Torah was mafkir, so what do you actually have to do? If the Beis Yosef is right and the mitzvah, and it's not, or at least you can prevent it from becoming hefker, then I can understand that the mitzvah is to not do that, or even to say it's hefker. But if it's hefker no matter what you do, then what is the Torah telling you to do? It's just describing a reality. What do we think? What would the mitzvah be if it's hefker regardless? what is this mitzvah of hefker? Right, Rabbi Yaris, you said before the mitzvah is get up there and say hefker, hefker, hefker. But if the Torah does that for me, then what do I have to do?
Out of the way.
Easy access.
Out of the way. Easy access. Okay, these are all good suggestions. So I think we're going to see different options. One option is a sort of, it's a shame about tase. Do nothing. Just don't prevent people from getting it. Don't prevent people from getting it. Don't withhold access. Okay? Someone else, I forgot, I don't know if it was Atana or Chaim, said it's more than that. You have to give them easy access. You have to go out of your way to make sure that they can access the produce. And maybe you could say it's a general hanhaga. It's a way that you relate to your produce. That's the mitzvah. It's not. And I'm going to argue, what I would like to argue is that even if you agree with the Beis Yosef, and even if you hold the mitzvah that you have to be mafkir it, that's not sufficient. It's not sufficient to get up there at the beginning of Shemitah and say, hefker, hefker, hefker. There's more that you have to do. Or there's a way that you have to act. And we see this from the Mechilta in source number 15. And this is really the best source in Chazal to indicate that Nitasha means hefker. For time's purposes, we'll focus on the second explanation of the words in Nitasha offered in the Mechilta. Davar acher, v'hashviyei tishmeteno Nitasha. Mitnei ma'amra Torah, lo sheyoklu otani. Right? The Torah says you have to abandon and relinquish your produce. And then it says the aniyim are going to eat. So, I guess the point is, it's a form of tzedakah. That's the Torah saying, one could have thought. The Torah is telling me to give tzedakah. Therefore, I'm going to bring all my produce into my house, and I'll give the tzedakah. You know, I'm very good at giving out tzedakah. You know, I'm not going to leave it out there. I'll take care of it myself. Why should I leave it out there? Therefore, the Torah says, on the seventh, you shall abandon it and relinquish it. Magid sheporeitz ba pratzot. This tells you that he, and the he at this point is undefined, he can breach openings. El shegadru chachamim b'pnei tikuna olam. However, the sages made a fence, and that's a great pun, I gotta say. I just noticed that. That's awesome. The sages made a fence that you don't have to breach your fence. Mipnei Tikkuna Olam, to help the world. What is the Tikkuna Olam is an interesting discussion. We'll say for now, on I think the most simple level, if you start making big holes in your fence, then all sorts of people and animals will start going into your field, and they might not just take the peros, they might mess up things, and it's not, there's no privacy, and that's, people don't like that. So we don't actually make you breach your fence. So the question is as follows. What was the chiyum yidiyaraita, right? The Torah would have required me, let's say, poritz bapratzot, breach your fence, make an opening, knock it down. But then the rabbis came and said, no, that far we're not going to have to go. You don't have to actually breach your fence. We're going to make a fence that you don't have to breach your fence. So the question is, why would have I had to breach my fence, and what do I have to do now? The Malbim explains as follows in source number 16. Hashmatahu shemisalvik atzmin adavar v'zesh lo yavod avodat haaretz. This is the first definition, which we didn't quote. Hashmata means removing oneself from the thing. And in the first explanation of Mechilta, if you look in source 15, and that means not doing work. Hanatishahu shemishtatev im haziva. It's even more. It's also an additional way of abandoning the land, Rakshem it's Sinai Haka Yoker, but it describes an even further distancing. Okay. First explanation is don't eat the wild produce. Abandon or relinquish it from your possession. Hefker, that it should be hefker. But you shouldn't put a fence around it and give it out. Because even if you're giving tzedaka, that's still you taking ownership and deciding who you're going to give it to. In fact, I can even argue that that's actually even a demonstration of your ownership. If you're the one who's basically running your own tzedaka fund, then you're making decisions, that actually demonstrates great ownership over the produce. It's counterintuitive. It's against the notion of Shemitah. But the Malbim just says, don't withhold access. don't build a fence and bring the stuff in. Instead, it should be Hefker, right? The Mari Apanim in source number 17 goes a little bit further. What does this mean? Sarah Shifros Pratso Begeder Sedeyu Kadesha Yokluha Niem Lehikones Berevach Elito Meatzman. That the poor should be able to enter easily, no issue, and take by themselves. So I wonder, according to this Mari Apanim, whether or not if a simple door is sufficient, right? That's the Poreis Bepratso. Meaning, I wasn't sure whether to take that literally. Does that literally mean you have to make big holes in your fence, or does it just mean give them at least some sort of access? The Mari Apanim sounds like, oh, maybe a door is not enough. It needs to be easy. Easy access. I don't have to go around anywhere. Okay. Just to note, the Rivade in his commentary, Mesechus Idios, may have a different interpretation of Poreis Bepratzot. The Rivade here in source 18 is dealing with an interesting question, which I think we'll get to next time, which is the question of showing gratitude toward the quote-unquote owners of Shemitah produce, right? So if I go into Natan's field, Natan has a wonderful Shemitah orchard, and I go in through the door, let's say, I'm nice and polite, and I walk up to his oranges and I eat one. Is it appropriate for me to say, thanks, Natan, I appreciate that, or no? That's sort of the discussion of the Rivet, because on the one hand, it's not his, it's mine, or it's accessible, it's Hefker. But the Rivet says here at the bottom as follows. That Aval Minatora, Vadai Mutter. Minatora, you can go into someone's field without saying thank you and without asking permission. Diksiv Ubishnat Hashviyat Tishmitena. Betanya b'mechilta magid shehu poreitz bra pratzot. How do I know you don't need permission? Because it says he can make breaches. Rachman Pishal Perlo, who I referred to in just a minute, understands this right to be saying that you know who's making the breaches? Not the owner, but the collector. That the Minatora, I am allowed to go and breach another person's fence in order to get their Shemitah produce. I can knock down the door and go in. And the Tikkun HaOlam is, that's not going to be very good in non-Shemitah years. Meaning it's one thing to allow vandalism during Shemitah in order to get to the produce. But vandalism, as we see, is not generally a good thing to encourage. And therefore, we're going to prevent people from doing that during Shemitah. So that's a different understanding of this. So this all brings us to the Rambam. And as I said, I think the Rambam has a radically different understanding of the mitzvah of Hefker than the Minchas Chinuch was suggesting at the beginning of this shir. Says the Rambam in source number 19. And there are a number of things to note about this Rambam. Mitzvah saseh lehashmit kol ma shetot yaretz bashviyis. There's a mitzvah saseh lehashmit. To relinquish, I think we should just say to shmitify, all the things that the land produces during Shvius. Because it doesn't, and I say that because it's not clear what he means. What's the Hashmit mean? He just says, Lehashmit. Shenemar v'ashvita, shvita shpena tashta. Okay, so number one, I have to be Mashmit. What does that mean? Interesting. I don't know. Not sure. V'choha noel karmo osag sadeu bashviyit bitel mitzvah aseh. And the Rambam tells me how I can violate this assay. Anybody who locks up their vineyard or puts a fence around their field during the seventh year has nullified this positive commandment. So two statements here, okay? Number one, you have to be mashmit. Number two, you can't put up a fence or lock up your vineyard. What do we think? Are these two statements two different ideas or essentially the same idea? That's part of the question here. When he says be mashmit, is he saying to do something active or is he simply describing what he follows it up with? Don't lock up your field. That's what mashmit means. Don't lock it up. Don't restrict access. It's a bit up for debate. And then he continues. This is the next interesting thing. Also, you violate the commandment if you gather all the fruits into your house. Yes, the Natanel. If you gather all we had, Natanel, Alex and I had a long back and forth about this during Seder, which we'll get to in just a minute. But if you gather all your fruit, you gather your produce and bring it into your house, That's also violating this positive commandment. Ella, yafkir hakol, but rather make it all hefker. V'yad hakol shavin v'chol makom. And everybody should have equal access everywhere. Free food for everyone. Right? That's the Rambam saying. Free food for everyone. Wherever you are, go take the food. Shnemar. V'achlu evnei amecha. And you should only bring a little bit into your house, as you would from Hefker, 5 jugs of oil, 15 jugs of wine, and if you bring more, it's mutter. A lot to unpack about this Rambam. Number one, is the question of what actually, according to Rambam, is the obligation of Hefker? What do I have to do? What does it mean, Yafkir HaKol? What does it mean, Lehashmit? Right? And how does that relate to this notion of the prohibition of locking it up? But there's additional issues with this Rambam. Where does he get this idea of gathering all your fruit? Now, he probably gets it from Mechilta in terms of the source, but why not? Who says I can't gather the fruit, right? As we said, as Zev was pointing out, when you're mocker something, anyone can take it. Anyone means anyone, including the owner. So what is the problem if I gather all my fruit into my house? When does the Rambam mean that that's a problem? And where does the Rambam get this notion of the 5 jugs of oil and 15 jugs of wine? So if you look in source number 20, in source number 20, there's a Mishnah in Shvi'is where the Rambam got it from. It says the Mishnah in source number 20 in Shvi'is. Okay? Hayotzer mocher chamish kadei shemen chamish asar kadei yayin. A potter can sell 5 jugs of oil and 15 jugs of wine. Shekein darko lahavi min hahefker. Such is normal to bring from hefker. Mehevi yotzer mikan mutter. And if you bring more, it's mutter. What does the Mishnah mean when it says it's normal to bring 5 or 15 jugs from Hefker? So I'll just say that most Mepharshim, aside from the Rambam, can explain this totally differently. They say this has to do with the problem of selling to a chashud al hashvius. That's the issue. We're afraid that if somebody who you don't trust to keep the laws of Shemitah is bringing a lot of produce, if you sell them containers, you're being misayeya yedei over avera because we're afraid they didn't obtain their produce appropriately. That's how most Rishonim read this. However, the Rambam, it sounds like, read this differently. The Rambam said, Darko lahavi min ha mufkar means that's what you're allowed or what's good, appropriate to take from Hefker. You, whether you're the owner or the collector, should not take more, or at least the owner, should not take more than this amount from Shemitah. And if you do, you're doing something wrong in terms of Shemitah, even if you do intend to treat the Shemitah appropriately, even if it was Hefker, right? So that's how the Rambam is looking at this. So in the source number 21, Rambam Fishel Perlo was very confused. First of all, he's just very confused. He's a bit upset about this whole notion of Hefker. He's not sure that it really exists. That's number one. And two, he says, and if it does exist, what is the mitzvah if you hold up the Beis Yosef? Take a look at source number 21. And this is Rav Rachman Fischel Perlo on the Rasag Asay Samach Aleph. I'm not so sure about these commandments. The Mashakots for Rambam, Bezalashono, Mitzvah, Sase, Lahashmi, Bashvias, Komash, Totsi, Aretz, Bechule, as you read. He writes that, In Kin, Inya, Mitzvah, Hu, Shechayev, Lahafkir, Akol. So it sounds like from the Rambam, you have to be Mafkir. Like Rabbi Yaris was saying, you have to actually be Mafkir. And to break, remake the Lefrot Pratzot, the Gedder Sadeo, and to make breaches in your fence, the Carmo, and of your vineyard, right? That's what it sounds like. But then I don't get it. Umayata, in came the Vadai, Lefis, Arts, Beis Yosef, just Beis Yosef, Yafka, Midasa, Bailim, Shapra, Shecha, Bezem, Mitzah, Sasei. If the Beis Yosef is right, as I interpret it, not as the cook interprets it, but if the Beis Yosef is right, that the Hefker doesn't happen by itself, and there's a mitzvah, then I can say that there's a mitzvah for the owners to be mafkirit, because the Torah is not mafkirit. However, according to the Ma'abid Ma'arit, that the Hefker happens no matter what, or at least even against the will of the Bailim, so what's the mitzvah? It happens no matter what. I don't get it. What's the mitzvah? Then he says, Ivra. Gam lefize yachati shlomar de ino mitzvah she yinog behen minhag hefker. Maybe the mitzvah is that you have to treat it as if it was hefker. It's how you approach the produce. That's what it's about. It's about your perspective during Shemitah. Not to take it for yourself and to withhold access to others. Maybe it's an inactive mitzvah. The mitzvah is don't restrict access, relate to it as it is hefker. That's option two. And he says that's what I think the Rambam is saying. And then he adds even a third option. That third paragraph. The Xeris at Kosevu. The apa pidi the male havi hefker mikol makom mitzvah sheafkir habaylin bithfihem. Even though it becomes hefker by itself, it is hefker by itself. But there's an additional mitzvah to declare it hefker. The Torah's mafkir it, but you should still say it's hefker. Maybe you should still verbalize that. Some achronim compare it to bechor. The Kedusha Bechor happens by itself, Bechor Behemah, the firstborn animal, and there is still a mitzvah for you of, we're in this week's Parsha, I believe. Kadesh Liko Bechor. That's actually referring to Bechor Adam, but the point is, there is a mitzvah to be Mikadesh a Bechor anyway, to declare it holy, even though the Torah does it. So maybe there is, in addition to the passive mitzvah of not restricting access, an active mitzvah of declaring it Bepeh. These are all three options that are open in the Rambam, and they're all taken by Acharonim. But I want to focus first for a bit on the second part of the Rambam, which is, what's this notion of not taking peros into your house? Where does that come from? It's one thing to say you shouldn't be mafkir, or you should be mafkir. What does that have to do with taking the peros? I was mafkir then. I said hefker, hefker, hefker. I didn't build a fence. I did everything right. Why can't I go take the peros myself? What's the problem with doing that? This is an interesting question. If you look at the Re-Corcus in source number 22, he makes two points. Number one, he says, even if your intention is to be mafkir, bringing the peros into your house is still a problem, right? And that's what Mechilta is saying. It's not enough to say hefker, hefker, hefker. You're not supposed to bring them inside to your house because that exercises a certain ownership over them. Bringing them all into your house means they're yours. You might say hefker, hefker, hefker. But if you bring them all into your house, that's an issue. Furthermore, he suggests in this second paragraph, and this is what me and Natan have back and forth about, Re-Corcus suggests, even if you were mafkir, and you did all that, and then you brought them into your house, you have to be mafkir again. It almost cancels out your hefker. Because hefker, and I think especially, I'm not sure the Re-Corcus thinks that the hefker here is verbal. I think the simple explanation of the Rambam simply is that you can't relate to it as yours. That's what hefker means. Hefker means you're treating it as an ownerless produce. So if you go and take it, then you weren't mafkir. It doesn't matter what you said. But where does this notion come from? Two approaches. You look in the Ramban in source number 23, and this relates to our later shiurim. The Ramban reads this mechilta as a function of the Isser Kitsira, the Isser of harvesting Kederech HaKotrin. We know during Shemitah you can harvest produce, but you're not supposed to do it as the owner would. As the Ramban says in source number 23, take a look. V'hinei amra katov ki aspiah hanolad ne'ala b'sadeh leg tzarotam. The wild growth that grows by itself, you shouldn't harvest it. And the grapes that grow by themselves without work, you shouldn't pick them. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't pick them at all. You yourself shouldn't harvest or pick them for yourself. Don't hog the free fruit. It's going to be a Shabbaton from Zriya and Zmira, from pruning and planting. And the rest of the land.
all that it produces in its rechem, nasviya v'nazir, lo kolchem yacha le'achla. You all have equal access. And then he quotes our mechilta. So one way to read this Rambam, I'm not saying the Rambam suggesting it's in the Rambam, obviously he's not, but some Akron suggest that's what the Rambam's getting at, like the Ramban. They compare this to the Ramban. There's an Isser of Kitzira. The Isser of Kitzira is Kederach HaBotrim. Part of that is not just the act of harvesting, but collection, collecting it as if you were the owner. I don't think it's a simple explanation of the Rambam. On the one hand, the halacha immediately before Dalet Chathalet is about Kitzira, if you look. And the Rambam talks about not harvesting the peros normally. That being said, it does seem like it's a separate halacha, and the Rambam doesn't mention anything about kotzer in this halacha. It does seem it's part of hefker in and of itself. So to explain that, we have Rishon Mazalman Orbach in Source 24. This is what Rabbi Torchita referred to in an earlier shir. I believe it was the one about kotzer based in, where Rabbi Rishon Mazalman Orbach says that hefker during Shemitah, although ironically based on the Yerushalmi Pale, is the paradigm of hefker, where we learn all the laws of hefker, it's not like normal hefker. Whereas normal hefker is ownerless, no one owns it. Shvius is owned by the Jewish people. All of Klal Yisrael has some sort of claim over the produce. And therefore, you don't have the right to take more than you need. So hefker isn't just verbalizing a hefker. It's not even just giving unrestricted access to the field. It's even not collecting more than you need, because that would be overriding the ownership rights of the other members of Klal Yisrael, and you're not allowed to do that. If you look in the second paragraph here, he says that he thinks if you go and do it, as the Rikorkis said, if you do that, you have to mafker it again. Regardless of what you did, if you go and take all the produce into your house, you have to mafker it again. So that's for Shlomo Zalman's take on this. Just with the last few minutes, regarding the Rabbi Rachman Fischel Perlow's two options, even according to the Rambam. So we're saying according to the Rambam that it's not just about hefker. Hefker, legal hefker, verbal hefker is not sufficient. It's a way that you relate to the produce. It's not gathering the produce, not fencing them in. But is there any obligation to be mafker bepet? Moshe Feinstein in Source 25, in a totally different context, it's actually a tshuva about teaching Torah to non-Jews. But in that context, it gets to a discussion of lifnei iver. And when we say, look, if someone's violating a prohibition on your property, it's tough luck on them. Sorry, like I didn't ask you to do that. Or when do we say, no, you have to get in the way? In that context, he says that even according to the Rambam, you have to be mafker bepet. Rak b'shviyish hu hefker, who can know silhem, right? Lo mi b'alati masha masha shabal san mechuyev l'hafker b'feh. Certainly, according to the opinion of the Baal HaSadeh, has to be mafker b'peh. Av shebelo mi rasho shemafker nami hu hefker. Even though it would be hefker otherwise, where Moshe says, you have to be mafker it. He's medayik from the Rambam. The Rambam says, mafker hakol. You have to be mafker. That means hefker, like Rabbi Yaris was suggesting. You have to get up and say, hefker, it's hefker. Even though it's mufker anyway. That's your Moshe. If you look at Source 26, we're not going to have time to read it, although I think it's a fabulous piece by Nassim Gestetner in Shiloh Ron Natan. Nassim Gestetner totally disagrees with this notion. He says, I never found anywhere that anyone actually said you have to be mufker. Okay? He says, the Rambam says, how do you violate this prohibition? By making a fence. Why didn't the Rambam say, how do you violate this prohibition? By not be mafker it, the peh. That would have been a very direct way to violate it. If the mitzvah is make a verbal declaration that it's hefker, the way to violate it is by not making a verbal declaration that it's hefker. So, and he actually makes a very apt comparison. He compares it to Yeyesh Shalom Midas, right? But Yeyesh Shalom Midas means that Yeyesh, if I lose an object, right, once, even though I don't even know about it, is general Yeyesh. Once I relinquish, you know, my connection to it, I give up hope from retrieving it mentally. I'm saying it's not mine. Even if there's no formal legal act of hefker, so it's still effective. I would compare it to chametz, according to the Ron. What does the Ron say about chametz? You don't have to be mafker chametz, But your Mesiach daito mimenu, right? You say it's not mine. I want nothing to do from it. It's not about a legal transaction. It's about your attitude toward it and relinquishing, at least psychologically, your ownership from it. So Rav Natan Geshayer said there's an absolutely not. Hefker isn't necessary, nor is it sufficient. No need to be machir bepeh. Okay, we're out of time. We don't get to Hefker Akarka, so Zev will have to come back next week for that. But we spoke about the obligation of Hefker. We discussed the notion of whether it happens by itself or it's incumbent upon the owner to be mafkir. We gave prios back and forth. We suggested maybe everybody holds it happens by itself. But regardless, that's not really what the mitzvah is about. It's not certainly not sufficient, and it's may not even be necessary. What it's really about is your relation to the produce, giving people access to the produce, and even, according to the Rambam, not gathering too much of it into your house. Thank you very much. And Meretz Hashem will continue next week with the discussion of Hefker and more about Kitzira.